everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm Frank Moreno. Now, within the sound of my voice, I'm not even talking about the people that are listening on the internet, but within the sound of my voice, this is a clear channel signal. People are listening across the country in 26, 27 states. So you might think, why in the world would I be focusing for a whole hour on one race for a New York City elected office? Well, the bottom line is that when you're the mayor of New York City, that is a position not only of citywide prominence, but statewide prominence and, quite frankly, worldwide prominence. When you're the mayor of New York City, that is a national and international political position. It affects you it affects people if they're living in upstate New York, New Jersey, Boston, California, North Carolina. And that's why I've been so frustrated at the lack of treating this mayoral race as if it's a genuinely competitive race. You see conservative publications, liberal publications act like this mayor's race is over because the Democrats have a registration advantage. Well, the fact of the matter is, race is not over. Not a single person has voted. And yet, even though the Republican and Independent Party nominee has more name recognition in most quarters than the Democrat, even though he's got more social media followers than the Democrat, you hear people almost dismiss his chances. So I thought it might be interesting to invite him in for a full hour and take your phone calls at 800-848-WABC. And in the interest of full disclosure, not only is this somebody that I've worked with for the better part of the last 20 years in both radio and in politics, but he's somebody that I've given an occasional amount of advice to throughout the course of the campaign, although fortunately for him, he tends to ignore most of it. But it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome the Republican and Independent Party nominee for mayor, Curtis Sliwa. Curtis, thanks for schlepping here at 2 a.m.
Why do you think it's schlepping, Frank, this is a shift that I myself used to sit through.
I am aware of that. I used to listen.
In fact, doing exorcisms of the Art Bell listeners, the Looney Kazooney from Parts Unknown, when he dominated overnight radio. So I'm well familiar with this aspect of talk radio that is true theater of the mind. This is, in fact, the best that talk radio can be. Because it allows you to go into all arenas of discussion that normally you would never hear during the course of daytime radio.
And we actually, people may not realize this if they didn't listen to your overnight show and they only know you from mornings or middays, but I actually stole your top of the hour theme. You used to play Swan Silvertone's I'm Not Tired Yet, which is how we start the 4 o'clock hour.
And that is true. I am not tired yet. There'll be plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead.
So how is the campaign going? You've been in and around politics for decades. You've been a commentator on politics for 30 years. This is your first time running for office yourself. How is it in terms of reality matching with your own expectations for what you expected with this race?
Before I answer that question, I must chastise.
I'm ready.
Radio guy to radio guy.
Oh, boy.
I was listening on the way in, you know, passing the Trendoids, Freakazoids, jet setters at the Met Gala. Boy, talk about it. They didn't defund the police over there. They had armies of police.
I can imagine not.
Always for the rich, the elite, the well-to-do. But I was listening to you, your discourse with BJ from Jackson Heights, Queens. And you cut him off when he called you a goober. I remember that distinctly. He called you, Frank Morano, a goober, and all of a sudden you introduced him to the radio version of Mr. Click.
Well, I think he was calling Biden and the Democrats a goober, but I appreciated the casino reference nonetheless. Tell me, honestly, how is the campaign going? How does this match with what you expected to find when you embarked on this campaign a year ago?
Well, they treat me, as you mentioned, as a candidate of no consequence. According to the media and the pundits, why even bother having an election? It should be an installation, a coronation, maybe followed by beatification in Rome of Eric Adams, who, as we know, maybe still is embraced by Cuomo, the worst governor we've ever had, Bill de Blasio, who single-handedly has destroyed this city that we love. And a guy who everyone hates, loathes, and despises. I'm not talking just de Blasio. Scaramucci. Scaramucci. I mean, that's a guy who reminded me of guys I grew up with who were selling penny stocks in boiler rooms as members of the Bonanno crime family, you know, extorting money out of people. I'm saying, he's aligned with all three of these folks, and people don't get the notion that this is just Cuomo 2.0, de Blasio 2.0. Even though he will say whatever he has to say, depending on the audience he's in front of. But I continue to campaign because, Frank, even though I'm the Republican candidate, as you mentioned, people don't realize I also have the independent line, which is such a key to getting people who would never vote for a Republican and a month of Sundays. And most importantly, I'm the only Republican who has ever gone into neighborhoods where the only Republican they've ever seen is Abraham Lincoln on a $5 bill and been well received. In areas where Eric Adams should basically have the vote locked up, and you would never know that from the reception that I get.
So now, finally, the campaign finance board has given you $2.5 million in matching funds. You're using that money to get on television. And today there was a new campaign ad revealed. People can check it out on your social media platform. Just search Curtis Sliwa on Facebook. But this is what it sounded like.
I'm Curtis Sliwa. As a young man working at a McDonald's in the Bronx, I learned to ask, how can I serve you? Soon after, I founded the Guardian Angels to protect people after watching my neighbors fall victim to crime, drugs, and homelessness. Since then, I've dedicated my life to keeping us safe, helping the homeless, and saving our animals. To bring our city back, we need compassionate solutions. I've done it all my life, and I'll do it as your mayor.
And you can't see it if you're listening to it on radio, but you're holding a small cat named Tuna. This is one of your 16 cats?
Now 17.
17. Okay.
Rescue
congratulations.
Cats that I and my wife, Nancy, raised in a 328-square-foot apartment in the Upper West Side, all of whom would have been euthanized because they were in the shelters, the animal shelters of New York City. Most people don't realize, Frank, that if a animal is surrendered, let's say you no longer have the wherewithal to take care of the animal, or you lost your apartment. So you figure you do the right thing, I'll surrender the animal to animal care and control, and they'll find a home, a new home of their own. You know, they'll either foster them out or they'll find an adoptee. If that doesn't happen within 72 hours, if Hochul herself from the executive mansion on Eagle Street in Albany were to call up 1 hour before the stated time of euthanasia, the governor herself could not stop the euthanization of a dog, cat, or an animal that's scheduled to be eliminated. And I made a vow in running for office there'll be no kill shelters of no dogs, cats, or animals. We spend millions of dollars to kill our furry little friends, our family members, when there's so many people out there who would be desperately wanting to either foster that animal or adopt that animal permanently. And so many rescue groups, these are fabulous volunteers who dedicate their whole lives to rescuing animals. And animal care and control won't permit it. So we did this ad, and naturally all the pundits and, you know, all the advisors, don't do that with a pet. The pet will steal the show. Well, of course, Tuna stole the show. But he gets people to pay attention because I got to tell you, the moment they see a political ad, a lot of people just turn off.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. Now, you talk about the punditocracy. And again, this is not a conservative or a liberal thing because the Daily News treats Eric Adams as the mayor in waiting. So does the New York Post. All the platforms of you, they begin the profiles of your candidacy by saying long shot candidate for mayor or unlikely candidate for mayor, or you know, all sorts of a disclaimer, even though there has not yet been a single poll published showing Adams ahead of you. How do you overcome that media narrative that seeks to give the impression that this race is already over?
Well, it's where I campaign that's so different than your traditional politician, whether Democrat, Republican, or Independent. I'm out in the subways. I'm out in the streets constantly interacting with people. And as you know, wherever I go, Frank Morano, a Curtis Sliwa campaign card goes into the hand of that individual. Hopefully as a reminder that they get out and vote because they had personal contact with me. The likelihood is whether Eric Adams or at that time the 13 other Democratic candidates in the Democratic primary before he won, or is in the Republican primary, Fernando Mateo versus myself. By the way, I was told I couldn't win that Republican primary. You know, he had $2 million. He was dropping it on my head. Curtis Lee was no Republican. He's a never-Trumper. Generally, when that happens, you lose, right? I mean, has any never-Trumper won in any election yet anywhere in this country?
I'm sure we can find one other example.
Yeah, go knock yourself out.
I think it underscores what I've said about your candidacy, which is I don't really think people view you as a Republican. I think they view you as Curtis, because you have sort of an identity with New Yorkers that is almost beyond one partisan label or another.
And I've been there for 42 years. How many people can tell you a Curtis Sliwa story? When Curtis Sliwa was in that neighborhood to deal with a specific problem that the local officials were ignoring.
The reality, though, obviously, is you have a city that's 6-1 Democrat, and you're going to need a lot of people that are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, like your father Chester was, to vote for you. How do you win over Democratic voters? You mentioned the animal rights issue, which is certainly one that could be very potent with pockets of Democratic voters. What other issues do you subscribe to that you think can relate to traditionally Democratic constituencies?
Every day, if you're in the city of New York, you see the endless numbers of emotionally disturbed persons and homeless persons. And Bill de Blasio, who labeled himself a progressive, like so many Democrats, I'm a progressive, I'm enlightened, I'm compassionate. There's no compassion. Look at Thrive. He created Thrive, which has ripped off $1.25 billion that was supposed to go to deal with all the emotionally disturbed persons who live in our parks, our subways, and streets. Not a penny has gone in that direction. His fellow Democrats have not called him out. They could have subpoenaed the records. They chose not to. Well, you see me in the course of my normal activities, both before and now that I'm running, dealing with the emotionally disturbed, having relationships with them, likewise with homeless. So then when I'm mayor, that becomes a priority. Let's face it, it's not a priority now with Bill de Blasio. And if you're thinking of voting for Eric Adams, one of the first things he said was, oh, Stephen Banks, who's the head of homeless services in New York, maybe the biggest blunder of all the de Blasio blunders. I think he's doing an excellent job. So, I want to carry him over into my administration.
What's that about? Is that about a function of who's funding the Adams campaign? Why would he pick somebody so notoriously incompetent like Stephen Banks and publicly say, I may keep that person?
I mean, let's face it. He's a product of the Kings County, Brooklyn Democratic machine that produced Bill de Blasio. That's had a history of corruption going back to Meade Esposito. When I grew up in Canarsie, I remember going to the Thomas Jefferson Club at 92nd and Conklin. There was Meade Esposito. He ended up going to jail. Clarence Norman ended up going to jail. Vito Lopez, who followed, a perv, should have been in jail. And then a guy who grew up on my block, Frank Sedio, who, by the way, capped out with a $2,000 personal contribution to me. And you know he's not supporting me for mayor of the city of New York, but he grew up on my block. I mean, it's permeated with corruption and it's cronyism. So Stephen Banks has been a product of Brooklyn. And naturally, he's elevated by Eric Adams in the Peter Principle. Do a bad job, I'll kick you upstairs, and you can do an even worse job. And that's what you're going to get with Eric Adams. It's de Blasio 2.0.
One of the criticisms that I've heard from not Curtis haters, but, you know, maybe critics in general, has been that you are a one-issue candidate. Clearly, you know the crime issue well as anybody, including a former cop like Eric Adams. But if you're the mayor of New York City, you got to deal with sanitation, you got to deal with transportation, you have to deal with every possible aspect of the city. Do you have the policy bona fides beyond the crime issue to do the job of mayor?
Policy bona fides. Like the Democrats have done a great job in all those arenas, right? What kind of job has de Blasio done, who is a professional politician? Cuomo, professional politician. Eric Adams, who's a borough president, glorified ribbon cutter. He's had more crime in the borough of Brooklyn than in any of the other boroughs. What are his background skills in making a difference? He's just going to carry on what has already transpired, which has caused us to fall into the abyss. What I'm going to do is try new ideas that have never been tried before under the banner of you have to do more with less. We're facing a $6 billion debt. that de Blasio is rolling over into the next year. And then another $6 billion after that. Hochul has already said she's facing a $12 billion deficit. There's no more money coming from President Joe Biden, the Senate, or the House. So they keep talking about programs in which they want to give out more and more of our tax dollars. Have you ever heard any of them say, hey, isn't it about time we do more with less? Look at the recent problem with the flooding. You saw that in Staten Island, in Westerly. You saw that throughout the borough of Queens. What was Eric Adams immediately screaming? Oh, it's global warming, climate change. We're going to have to spend billions. Chuck Schumer, billions. How about cleaning out the catch basins and the sewers, flushing them out, back flushing them? When you talk to all the people who suffered incredible losses, the one commonality of all these people was they hadn't seen anybody clean the sewers out or the catch basins in years. How about doing simple, common sense, pragmatic things first before you immediately talking about spending billions of dollars? And in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, we've had professional politicians who have been in office, right? Has a seawall been built yet?
Still waiting in my neighborhood.
Where's the seawall? How many years since Superstorm Sandy?
Yeah, nine. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And who's been in charge? The professional politician? Someone like Curtis Lee would say, how come we don't have the seawall? That has to be prioritized. If you worry about global warming and climate change, why don't you build the seawall? The money is there. Why aren't they building that seawall?
We're going to take your calls for Curtis Sliwa in just a minute. Those of you that are listening on the radio or on the podcast, and you want to check out more of Curtis's platform or even make a small contribution, it is matchable, $8 to $1. You can go to Sliwa4NY.com, make a contribution online, give $100. The city kicks in $8, and you can really make a difference. Let me ask you, Curtis, about your decision to spend $250,000 on Spanish language television ads. You've always had a pretty strong connection with the Hispanic community for many years. A lot of people thought you were Hispanic. What are you hoping to do by this Hispanic outreach? Is this a function of reaching out to a constituency that doesn't traditionally jive with Republicans? Or what are you trying to do here?
Well, let's look in the aftermath of Trump's loss to Joe Biden. He did phenomenally well in the city with male Latinos, better than most Republicans have ever done before, I think, except for Bush 43. And a lot of people in the Republican Party got all excited. They said, oh, that's why we want to have a coronation of Fernando Mateo. Remember, all five chairs were supposed to universally give him the nomination of the Republican Party until all of a sudden, at the last moment, I said, I'm running. Nobody thought I would run, and I ran, and that deprived him of a coronation. But their whole concept was, give it to Fernando Mateo, because that's the growing voting bloc in the city. Not just Puerto Ricans who were Americans by birth, but Dominicans, Mexicans, Colombians. We can go right through the list of South Americans, Central Americans, Caribbeans who live here. And there are growing numbers of them who are registered. Nobody ever goes after them because they're considered an afterthought. Black Lives Matter. Whatever happened to Brown Lives Matter? Remember, it used to be Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter. All of a sudden, they lost the Brown Lives Matter. So Latinos have been used. And as you said, there are so many Latinos and others who think I'm Puerto Rican. They think I'm Curtis Silva. So, of course, I'm going to go to the Latino community, which has given me so much support for the Guardian Angels over 42 years, when other communities were a little jaundiced at first, a little skeptical, a little resistant.
All right. We're going to take your calls in just a minute. People are queuing up, just as they did in your radio days, for an opportunity to talk with you, talking with Curtis Sliwa, Republican and Independent Party candidate for mayor. But Curtis has been doing a lot of walking around. He has been doing a lot of pressing the flesh. And when you get to Curtis's age, and you're out there walking all day, especially if you have a history of getting beaten up over the years, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to deal with things like knee pain. Even better chance that you might deal with things like back pain. If you're like my friend Joe Borelli, you're waging a lifetime battle with plantar fasciitis. Well, if you suffer from any sort of chronic pain, back pain, neck pain, knee pain, tennis elbow, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, two words are going to change your life. Those two words are Trinity Rehab. These are the folks that will restore your freedom to live your life pain-free. It's not your father's physical therapy with some weird device, some weird machine. This is cutting-edge, state-of-the-art. They have something called the EPAT machine, which is like something out of the Star Trek universe. It's FDA-approved, non-surgical, acoustic, pressure wave technology. It's similar to what they use to break up kidney stones. It breaks up scar tissue, it enhances healing, gets rid of pain pronto. It's effective for all sorts of chronic pain conditions. In just 3 5-minute sessions with this EPAT machine, you're going to be virtually pain-free. No prescription needed to get started. In fact, you go to Trinity Rehab, chances are pretty good you can flush some of that prescription pain medication down the toilet. Great thing about it is they have convenient locations all over New Jersey. Well worth a trip out to Woodbridge. Well worth a trip out to Shrewsbury, Clifton, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, East Windsor. And if you want to get more information, you can give them a call. Trinity Rehab, 800-518-0977. That's 800-518-0977. Or just go to trinity-rehab.com.
It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe.
The great Frank Sinatra singing One for My Baby. You can listen to Joe Piscopo doing the Ramsey Mazda Sundays with Sinatra show every Sunday night. As I listen to it on my way in, it's a terrific show right before Dina Martin. He's on from 7 to 10, and then you have Dina Martin from 10 p.m. on. And they actually 6 to 9 for Joe, and then Dina's on starting at 9. A terrific, terrific Sunday night if you're into music. All right. I've yammered on long enough. A lot of people have questions for the man who'd like to be the next mayor of New York City. 800-848-WABC. Gary is in Rockaway. Gary, what's your question for Curtis?
Oh, no, I just don't really have a question for him because I live in New Jersey. But
wonderful.
I just listen all the time, and the station's great. And all you guys are great. And, I don't know how I could help Curtis living in New Jersey, but I'm honored to talk to all you guys, and you're doing a great job.
Well, Gary, you can certainly help me. If you happen to be a registered Democrat, you could vote for me there, because Democrats get to vote for everybody, no matter where they are, as many times as they'd like, even from the grave, if you're from Hudson County there.
No, I'm from New Jersey.
Right, Hudson County is in New Jersey, Gary.
What kind of gavones do you have calling?
Look, it's 2:30 in the morning, Curtis.
I understand. The guy doesn't even know where
it's
Hudson County is.
It's 2:30 in the morning. 800-848-WABC, a familiar voice for you, although he used to call you always as a fake name. We're one of the few shows he gets to use his real name on. Steve in Manhattan. Hello, Steve.
All right, gentlemen. Frank, Curtis. First, I want to address the gavones out there. Curtis is the only one in this race who's going to do something about crime, folks. You think about that. Adams is just the Tower of Jelly's mini-me. And, Curtis, I could win this election for you today at 12 o'clock. If you call a press conference and you announce that Steve from Manhattan is going to be your park commissioner. Now, I'm not going to be a typical park commissioner. I'm going to be out there playing basketball, stickball. We're going to teach this generation of kids how to play stickball, and this will put you over the top, my man. Crime is the biggest issue. You need help. Got to get people to help you get the vote out, and you're going to win this election.
Now, this is a great offer here, you see. He's willing to be the parks commissioner, and guess what? You're going to do it for no pay, right? I'll give you a Metro card. How about that? Because we're going to have to learn to do more with less, Steve.
Oh, without question, I'll work for $1 a year, the traditional dollar.
Oh,
I think that might be an instance of you overpaying, Curtis, if he's working for $1 a year. I got an email here. Ask Curtis. Trump, Elder, and many Republicans are already calling or on the verge of calling the California recall rigged. Do you agree with them that if Newsom isn't recalled, it will be a result of a rigged election?
How do we know? First of all, I'm in favor of recall. I'm in favor of elections. As you know, Newsom has said, oh, no, this is bad. Elections are good. You know, I love recall. But let's wait until the finality of the elections. Larry Elder, I got to tell you this one story about Larry. It was, I think, 2002. I was in Oaktown, for a black conference about black-on-black crime. and Larry Elder flew in from L.A., and he was getting hell. And now, my complexion was not my protection within this group. They were all black. They looked at Larry Elder because of his positions. They called him a double fudge Oreo stuffed cookie. Mm. And they said he was a race traitor. And unfortunately, that's what he's had to face in campaigning in California. Here's a guy grew up in South Central, right? He's got all the street cred. And they're basically saying he is a race traitor because he has a different point of view, as if blacks all have to have the same point of view or they're race traitors. They don't apply that to whites or Asians or Hispanics or anyone else. Why only blacks? Why do blacks all have to think exactly the same, speak exactly the same, and have the same ideology? Who fosters that point of view? The media. The media. And so let's wait to see the ballots being counted.
All right, let me ask you about a gentleman who you campaigned for three times. You were very vocal in support of long before anyone else was. And that's Mike Bloomberg. In addition to Mayor Bloomberg, the former three-term mayor of New York City, Democrat turned Republican, turned independent, turned Democrat. In addition to him doing a fundraiser for Eric Adams, he actually put out a video yesterday. Here's a portion of that video.
Well, I couldn't be any more optimistic about our future because we brought the city back before and we can do it again now. I believe New York City's success rebuilding Lower Manhattan after 9/11 and revitalizing all five boroughs can help the next mayor as he takes office in January. As a candidate, Eric Adams has shown ambition and political courage. That's why I'm supporting him to lead the city forward. After 9/11, it was hard to imagine the city could rebound as quickly and as strongly as it did. But New Yorkers are incredibly resilient. By pulling together and working hard, we began a period of rebirth and renewal unlike any in history. Now we can do it again. And if we heed the lessons of the past, I know we will.
So, Mike Bloomberg, a guy who supported the Guardian Angels, guy you worked with.
Let me correct you. I did not support him for the third term that he was running for. He stole that term. Remember, he was Mr. Term Limits and then bribed the city council to get an additional 4 years. Billy Thompson, who ran against him, had no money. And then they went after him. Remember, they really beat him up because he was having some problems with his wife at that time. And halfway through the night, even though Bloomberg spent $100 million, Billy Thompson didn't have two nickels to rub together. Who was ahead in the vote tally? Billy Thompson. I did not support the mayor at that point for a third term. He basically turned on his so-called ideology. We saw him do that again when he wanted to be president. He became a rent-a-Democrat. And him supporting Eric Adams? Really?
You're not losing any sleep over it.
Let's say, where does he spend most of his time? Does he spend most of his time in New York or as many other houses in the Caribbean, in Colorado, and other places? And I noticed that Eric Adams said on January 2nd, again, thinking this is a slam dunk, he's going to be elected. He said, I'm taking a flight to Florida, and I'm telling all those New Yorkers that live in Florida, I'm telling them, bring your butt back to New York. That's the first thing he's going to do? Those people aren't coming back. And by the way, how about going to each and every precinct, starting out in Tottenville, and every other precinct down to the first precinct near Chinatown, and shake the men and women's hands who have such low morale? He's going to go to Florida, what, take another vacation? He just had a vacation.
Let me ask you about one Eric Adams proposal that came out yesterday in light of this Brooklyn hit and run over the weekend, which resulted in the killing of an infant. Adams said that reckless drivers, like the one charged with killing this infant, should have their licenses revoked permanently. He said, quote, we really should think differently about those who have real records of abuse. I think our suspension of licenses can be longer, and I believe we can put in place a rule after a certain amount of time of predetermined reckless driving, we can do lifetime suspension. Is this an area where the two of you might agree?
Do as I say, but not as I do. Are you aware of Eric Adams, the driving record that he's had since he's been borough president, even though he gets squired around? I don't know who takes him to Fort Lee where he resides. But are you aware of his having been ticketed 40 times? Let me just read this to you. 40 traffic violations since taking office in 2014 as borough president. 14 tickets speeding in a school zone. 20 serious moving violations. 15 of those reckless driving tickets since 2019. Now, generally, you would lose your privilege of driving, right?
Well, it sounds pretty reckless to me.
Brad Landa, who is running as a Democrat who won the primary, he's got even a worse record of driving. So here it is. These folks are saying that this should be done, and that, and I agree, this is the most egregious case we've probably seen. But what about their own driving records? How come they don't say, and, you know, I've been guilty of a lot of this myself. Thank God I haven't hit anybody. I haven't caused injury to anybody. But I've been charged with reckless driving. So what is he saying? If you've been charged with reckless driving, you should lose your license, your privilege to drive?
It sounds like he's exactly the kind of person that an Eric Adams administration would prohibit.
How would he get to Fort Lee all the time?
That's a great question.
By the way, you don't believe he lives in Brooklyn in that basement apartment that probably should have flooded with the recent heavy rains and storms we've had.
I'm pretty skeptical. Dave is in Manhattan. Dave, what's your question for Curtis?
Curtis, you are a refreshing breath of air. Curtis, I know you've debated, I think, that report of Gersh about cycling. I'm a cyclist, I'm a pedestrian, and I'm a motorist. But when I am on my bike, I am more intimidated by my fellow cyclists than I am cycling in vehicular traffic. Would you support that any cyclist who uses the public thoroughfare and a bicycle is a moving vehicle must carry liability insurance? Furthermore, they must have a license plate so we can easily identify and report them. We have reached a critical mass now where we are flooded with cyclists who think they are immune from traffic regulations.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. They got to carry insurance for riding a bicycle like Pee Wee Herman.
Vehicle on a public thoroughfare. It's if they harm somebody or hurt somebody, then we know that they can recompense the.
Now, when you're saying bicycles, do you mean the old-fashioned bicycles?
Right, not a motorized bicycle.
What are you? Are you talking about the pedaling bicycle? I would disagree with you.
I am talking.
I'll tell you what you do.
You
allow the cops to enforce the traffic laws. You let the traffic control agents, who used to be the brownies who are under supervision of the NYPD, do that. They're not permitted to do that any longer. That's why you have some helter-skelter folks on bicycles. And I have a rule of thumb for bike lanes. If you use it, you keep it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Because there are vast portions in New York City where you see bike lanes, and you never see anybody on the bike lane. Other areas, especially like in northern Brooklyn, they're constantly on the bike lane. So they keep it because they're using it. I think that's fair and square. But to force somebody on a bicycle to have a license to carry insurance? No way. What, are we going to have speed cameras next, you know, ticketing them like they have speed cameras for vehicles?
Let me ask you about a proposal that you came out with about a month ago out of the Andrew Yang playbook, which is universal basic income. Yang sort of catapulted himself to the national stage by proposing this when he ran for president. He tried to run in the Democratic primary for mayor. Now he's apparently branching out to start a third party. You indicated that you'd be supportive of a universal basic income for New York City. A lot of people are going to say that, look, New York can't afford this. You're the one saying we have to do more than with less. Other people are saying this is just going to be one more incentive for people not to work. Explain to people, particularly folks on the right, who might be a little dismayed with this proposal, why the idea of a universal basic income is a sound one and a good one.
First off, I applaud Andrew Yang for forming a third party. He was so mistreated in the Democratic primary by Eric Adams, who called him a cheater, a liar, and worst, a racist. Because, you know, Eric Adams, whatever his back is against the wall, you're a racist.
Oh, yeah.
So when the ranked choice voting came about, which I supported, you supported, Frank, 70% of the voters supported it. We pushed for initiative and referendum, which I'm in favor of. Yang did what you're supposed to do, find a partner so that you can run together. You don't have to always be adversarial. And he did it with Kathleen Garcia. If you notice, on Juneteenth, who got called a racist? Andrew Yang got called a racist by Eric Adams. How is he a racist? He's an Asian guy, right? He's a racist because Eric Adams didn't like the fact that they were teaming up. That's the, one of the goals of ranked choice voting is that you do that. Number two, he is best known for universal basic income. But there are libertarians, there are conservatives who are in favor of universal basic income, not for the same reason as progressives or liberals. They believe it's a humanitarian thing, and they trust people to be able to spend the money that you give them. I don't like this huge bureaucracy of social services that takes most of the money before it gets to the needed people. And I trust people. I don't trust politicians.
So your view is this would actually streamline a lot of the social service aid that's being given?
We don't know. Remember, it's Milton Friedman, who's like the godfather of modern-day supply-side economics. You hear Mark Levin, who I was on earlier this evening with. He adores Friedman and always quotes him. He suggested that long before Andrew Yang, not exactly the same way. I say let's have a test. 500 people for 2 years, cost about $6 million per year. Look how much we waste with Thrive, $1.25 billion. And let's see where the analytics go, what the data is as we follow all 500 people. We'd be giving them $1,000 a month. They get to spend it any way they want to. Again, I trust human behavior. Government doesn't trust human beings. They want to basically coddle you from the cradle to the grave. Why are we afraid to experiment and see where it leads to?
That's a pretty sound reasoning.
And it doesn't mean it's mayor. I would go along with it. I'd say, well, let's look at the data. I have my view of universal basic income eliminating this unbelievable bureaucracy around social services. And yet the Yang Gang, who I've had conversations with, support it because they trust the people and they believe it's a humanitarian thing to do. So let's see where it leads.
800-848-WABC. John is in Brooklyn. John, you're on with Curtis.
Curtis and Frank, good seeing you both again on the radio. Curtis, I think you should discuss at some length your education policy because it's very innovative. I also want to bring to your attention that at the end of this month, beginning of next, the most radicalized book festival in the United States will be held in Brooklyn. Eric Adams has been supporting it for years, even though, guess what? They've been supporting BLM, they've been very critical of police, and they've been also very critical of congressional guards. You should have a chance to hold Eric's feet to the fire and ask him why he supports this festival.
Well, Brooklyn Book Festival, Curtis, thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm not into burning books or banning books. If you're not happy with certain books, then I want more books being written. If you're not happy with hate speech or what you perceive to be hate speech, I want more free speech. If you're not happy with certain statues, I want more statues.
But, Curtis,
yes.
Here's the problem. They have only a radicalized view. They're teaching, they're going to be having a program about the racist origins of the U.S. Constitution and the Electoral College presented by a pair of black law school
All right, but they have the right.
No,
they have the right
historian.
To believe that, to say that, to write about it. If you want to contradict that, then you debate them, you write your own periodicals, your own books. That's why there shouldn't be this cancel culture that's out there that all of a sudden determines, oh, that's hateful. Well, wait, if you perceive it as hateful, then just have more of it. Boy, that is a really bad path you start traveling down when you want to start banning things. Now, let's talk about the educational program because that also has knocked off a lot of socks of people. Who
right.
Said,
recently, you called for year-round school in New York
almost
City.
Almost year-round, up until the end of July. Look. We've had children, including my own sons, all three, who go to public schools, in which they spent a year and a half, in some instances, playing Fortnite and Roblox when they should have been doing their online schooling. Mm-hmm. In the inner city, it's even worse because a lot of the children and young adults didn't even have the right equipment. If it was up to me, I'd redshirt them. I'd leave them back, but I realize that will just a system that already does social promotion and pushes children ahead to the point where if they're accepted in the city college, the first 2 years are spent on remedial reading, writing, and arithmetic. You say, well, what did they learn in high school? They were just socially promoted. Is it we have an attrition rate of teachers. Within the first 5 years, 40% of teachers leave the public school system. Now, they don't all leave teaching. A lot of them go on and teach other places. But 40% attrition rate, what business can survive with a 40% attrition rate? I want to pay them more money. I want to give them bonuses every 5 years. Teachers have to buy supplies for their children in the classroom. You have the Department of Education sucks up $38 billion of a $100 billion budget of the city of New York. I want that money going directly to each school, directly into the classroom. I trust the teachers. I don't trust bureaucrats who get paid upwards of $250,000 at the Department of Education headquarters. Doing what? What do they do, Frank?
You got me.
Yeah, well, it's patronage, it's cronyism, and it's not productive. So put the money where it's needed to help the children.
Russ is in White Plains. Hello, Russ.
Hey, hey, Curtis, you were beatified for me in 1983 when you helped us with those criminal landlords, Alan Sackman and Tony Postiglione. Adams is in the developers' pockets. But, Curtis, I think people question your administrative ability. You've built a global brand over 40 years. You helped manage a major media transition at WABC, and you had a physical recovery from death's door. You know, what it is that these lazy morons in the media, they need something to grab their attention, and I think they're jealous of you. But you've got a husband and wife team that could take on the presidential tag team of Adams and Brewer, and I think you need to go something like that out of the ordinary.
Well, thank you. Question. Thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention. My wife, Nancy, who, as you know, is a leading, one of the leaders in the animal welfare movement in New York City, is in fact running against Gail Brewer, who needs to go into the private sector and get a real job. She's a lifetime, she says, public servant, but she just keeps running for office. And she's running for the Upper West Side Council seat. There hasn't been a Republican running for that seat in 10 years. Nancy is now going to challenge her. But more importantly, you talk about developers in the back pocket of Eric Adams. You know who his main supporter is? It's a name that nobody knows except the cognoscenti. Frank Caron. Frank Caron is corrupt right down to the marrow of his bone. He is the attorney for the Kings County corrupt Democratic machine. He negotiated with de Blasio, who he's raised tons of money for, a deal with the Podarsky brothers, who grew up in Canarsie. That's how I know them. Their father was burning tenements in Coney Island to get tenants out in the 70s, did federal time, as did the brothers. They got $150 million for slums in the Bronx that de Blasio said he was converting into badly needed homes, you know, for apartments for the homeless. $150 million. How much did Frank Caron get of that, huh? Frank, why don't you start asking those questions?
I think that's a fair question.
That's
to ask.
He's the friend of your pal, Arthur Idala. Why don't you ask him?
Brooklyn people stick together. What can you say? Now, I know you're going to be debating Eric Adams at least twice because you've qualified for matching funds. He's qualified for matching funds, and he's mandated to participate in these two debates, as are you. A certain segment of this audience also supports the Conservative Party candidate for mayor, Bill Pepitone. A lot of people wondering if you would agree, even if Adams isn't there, to a debate with Bill Pepitone. Would you participate in a debate like
well,
that?
Well, Eric Adams is the Democratic candidate, right? Well, why are you giving him an out here?
I'm not giving him an out.
Well, what do you mean? It would be just me and Bill Pepitone.
Well, I mean, if Adams doesn't want to show up, but Pepitone
look, if Pepitone qualifies for the debate, I'll debate anybody, any time, any place. Well, oh, no, no, no. You're not going to get Eric Adams to bow out. Remember in that last Democratic debate, he said, oh, I have to be with a family whose son was shot
right.
in Far Rockaway.
Well, then he ended up showing up.
Why? Because right. clearly it showed that he was weak, he was feckless, that he's afraid to get into the ring. Bill Pepitone's a fine man, a former police officer. I've met him out on the campaign many, many times. Now, people will say, you really shouldn't say that about him because he's going to take votes from you. He may well take votes from me. But he's a qualified candidate. Now, I don't know if he qualifies according to the rules set up by the CFB for the debate. But if he's on the stage, fine. Anybody else who qualifies, fine. The more the better. But Eric Adams better be there because I'm going to be asking him the questions that the media won't ask him. That, in fact, if you remember, he appeared with Bernie and Sid in the morning. Dove Hyken, Amitav Hyken said, I am going to reveal information about the relationship between Eric Adams and Louis Farrakhan
right.
and the Nation of Islam. Dov Hyken never spoke about that again. What happened, Frank? Did that information disappear? He said, oh, I had a private meeting with Eric Adams, a former colleague of his up in Albany when Eric Adams was a state senator and Dov was the assembly person for Borough Park. And he apologized for that. Really? A personal? How about doing it publicly?
Right.
How about acknowledging the relationship you had with Farrakhan and with Tawana Brawley? A lot of people don't know that because I saw him when I was defending Stephen Pagonas when he was suing Sharpton for slander and libel, and he won that case. Who was there supporting Sharpton almost every day? Eric Adams. And what about Mike Tyson when he went out to Indianapolis? Friends with Mike Tyson.
Didn't he work as Tyson's security detail while he was a cop?
Exactly.
As well?
So I will ask the questions in the debate that none of the reporters want to ask.
All right, so I'm going to construe that as you will not debate Pepitone unless Eric Adams participates.
Well, Frank, I'm running against Eric Adams.
Right, I'm just asking the question.
If Bill Pepitone qualifies, then he deserves to be on that stage. But don't give it out to Eric Adams.
I'm not giving it out to anybody. I want to see all the candidates debate. Bertha is in Manhattan. Yes. Bertha, you're on with Curtis.
Yes, Curtis. How are you, Curtis? I've seen you throughout the years. You're the one for New York City. I'm here in Chelsea campaigning for you. You are the man for New York City. You are the man we need. You will win the elections on November 2nd, 2021. No doubt about it.
Oh, you see? That's confident.
Yeah, you got the Bertha endorsement.
You see, I wish Bernie and Sid would be as confident because they give me a backhanded endorsement. Oh, you know, we love Curtis, but he's got no chance to win.
Well, that's what I hear from everybody. People say to me privately, oh, you know, is Curtis coming back to the station after the election? And I'll say, why are you assuming the election is over?
Let me ask you a question. The station had, as one of its many guests, great job, the 9/11 commemoration. WABC's finest hour. John Katzimatidis, owner and operator, needs to be applauded for that. The station was never better than during that commemoration. George Pataki, the former governor. People didn't even know who George Pataki was. Everybody knows who Curtis Sliwa is, whether you like me or you don't like me. Nobody knew who George Pataki was. He beat Mario Cuomo, the iconic figure of the Democratic Party, who might have gone on to become president of the United States or United States Supreme Court judge. How is it that people can say that knowing the story of George Pataki?
Well, and especially given that Giuliani was backing Mario Cuomo, Pataki didn't have many friends even among Republicans back then. All right, we're going to continue with Curtis Sliwa in just a minute. We're going to do one of those infamous lightning rounds that everybody loves. But if you're somebody that needs to wear a mask all day, maybe you're a teacher that went back to school and you're gearing up for Curtis's year-round school education, and you have to wear a mask all day long, or you're a construction worker or a waiter or a bartender, whatever the case may be, it's so uncomfortable to wear a mask all day. You can't breathe in it. And if you wear some of these masks, they get so wet with your saliva, they're completely ineffective in terms of preventing germs. There's a better solution. EasyFlow USA, the EasyFlow personal air filtration system. Go to EasyFlowUSA.com. That's EasyFlowUSA.com. It pushes fresh filtered air directly into your mask, allowing you to breathe normally and more comfortably. It's recommended by medical professionals everywhere, and it's tested in an FDA-approved lab to filter 99.7% of virus and bacteria, including COVID. Makes your mask more effective, makes your mask drier, and more comfortable for all-day wear. You're actually going to be able to breathe. Imagine that. Get yours today at EasyFlowUSA.com. And if you enter the promo code radio when you order, you'll save 20%. EasyFlowUSA.com, promo code radio.
77 WABC, All-American.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Five, one more night. Well, we have about 38, 39 more nights until the election. Curtis Sliwa, the Republican and Independent Party nominee for mayor of New York City, is in studio. How many days till the election now? Do you know off the top of your head? It's about 38 days, right?
Really? I don't know. Let's ask Eric Adams. He's probably at the club Zero Bond for the third straight night, partying to 1:30 in the morning. That strikes me like Jimmy Walker.
I had no idea he was such a club goer.
Well, he never was.
Yeah.
But now he's like I'm telling you, show me the money tour that he's on. And today I'm going to nail him. Because are you aware, and you should be aware, that he has advocated during the Democratic primary that he wants free fare for the subways and the buses?
For everybody. Millionaires and the impoverished.
Now, we got problems in the subways now, right? With emotionally disturbed people there, homeless people, gangs, anybody walking in and out. Can you imagine a free system, no fare? How do you subsidize that? He said originally he was going to tax the wealthy, the rich, and the corporations. After today's appearance with Scaramucci, who everybody hates, loathes, and despises, he didn't mention that. I wonder why he didn't mention that. Talk to all the people there. Hey, by the way, you're going to subsidize bus and subway fares to the tune of billions of dollars because we're not going to have anybody pay their fare any longer. By the way, does that work anywhere in the world?
You got me. I haven't heard that it does.
Do you think maybe somebody could ask him that question? Because I'm certainly posing that question. We have it in his own words. He told New York Magazine, I want free fares on subways and buses, and the rich and the wealthy and the corporations are going to pay for it. Billions and billions of dollars. Wow. How come none of the wealthy and the rich and the corporate types ever ask him that question?
It's going to be very interesting to see how that goes over with some of his donors. I'm hoping I get that free express bus ride back to Staten Island. All right. As is now the style in all of the mayoral debates, we're going to end this hour with a lightning round, Curtis. One word answers to each of these questions, if you would.
Yeah,
ready?
Yeah.
I hate these, but people love them. Do you exercise daily?
Hell yeah, I walk everywhere.
Okay, one word. Have you ever had a manicure or pedicure?
Hell no.
Should people be able to bring firearms to church?
No.
Which performer would you invite to play at your inauguration?
Pee-wee Herman.
Excuse me, you threw me on that one. I haven't lost it, Frank. Will your election night party have an open bar?
No, there's no party. We're going out and thanking all the cops in the precinct.
If you were a registered Democrat, for whom would you have voted in the primary?
That's interesting. Who would I have voted?
One word.
Myself.
What was the last book you read?
Last book, let's see, The Jungle, Upton Sinclair.
Best WABC program director ever.
I guess I have to say our present one, right, Dave?
What's your favorite television show?
I don't watch TV. My wife cut the cords.
Will you commit to serving all 4 years of your term?
Damn right, if you'll have me.
Curtis Sliwa, check him out online, SliwaForNY.com. And in the meantime, keep asking questions.
Red Apple Media is proud to celebrate 100 years as one of America's most influential radio stations and New York's first. WABC. And WLIR-FM, Hampton Bay.